Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple of Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Melissa Fixie. We're writers for Sci-Fi Wire's fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in Season 3, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Alyssa. It's another day.
Another day just like yesterday.
Well, not just like yesterday, because I texted you in a panic yesterday.
That's true. I was quite confused to receive that text message, but,
yes.
You know.
I'm having trouble distinguishing days of the week at this point. So I thought it was Wednesday yesterday, which was Tuesday, and Wednesday is one of our recording days. Yeah, so I had that little like moment of panic, and then I realized I need to put a calendar on the wall because that's where we're at. These are dark times.
Yeah, but you know what? Then, you know, you realized that it was Tuesday and you had a few extra hours you didn't expect to have. So
I did.
Silver lining.
That's true. Thanks for that, Alyssa.
You're welcome.
And I'm sorry to have panicked you for that, like, quick second. But, yeah, all's good.
Right.
Let's get into this episode because, again, another episode just packed with things that are happening.
This season, oh my God, it's so good. Like, they're just
coming hard.
They're killing it.
Like, yeah.
They really are. Like, it's a lot. It is a lot. So, let's get into it.
So, basically, we're saying you need us. Because
right. To process emotionally what's happening on screen because it's so much.
We're taking notes. We're here for you. So, we open the episode. Everyone's kind of heading back to Mercia and they're carting Ethelred in, not looking good. I mean, he's about
brain's
as pale as I
out
am.
brain's still out of the back of his head. It's a bad wound. He's not in a good way.
I think we knew that he probably wasn't going to recover from this.
Stop praying for him to die. We will be blamed for this.
What if we blame him first?
The Eldermen that survived, Canute's armies are rightly, you know, pissed off at Ethelred for abandoning them and going into East Anglia. I mean, that kingdom has really nothing to offer, and they were left, you know, to defend themselves, and it didn't go well, obviously. And so while he's kind of laid up in bed, they're all circling him like vultures because they're ready for him to go so that they can kind of get their country back on track. And, you know, maybe it's in bad taste, but like also I get it.
Yeah. You know, this episode is basically the Last Kingdom's take on succession. So like, you know, Athelred's dying. He's, you know, he left his kingdom insecure because, yes, technically he does have a daughter, but it's not his daughter. We all know that's Eric's daughter. And so he doesn't have an heir. He doesn't have, a real clean handoff system because he assumed he was going to, you know, live for a long time because he was still young and vibrant. But now everything is up in the air. And, you know, he didn't have a plan. And, you know, yeah, like you said, like these Eldermen, a lot of them lost their sons, a lot of them lost their land and their people. And so they are, you know, they're mad and they are not necessarily thinking in a way that benefits people at large. They're mostly trying to, you know, they claim they're trying to keep the peace in Mercia, but they're really trying to find some sort of payment feels like the wrong word, but some sort of thing to atone for what they've lost at the hand, you know, at the mishandling of Athelred. So
yeah,
nobody's thinking, you know, altruistically at this point.
No, there's definitely grabs for power being made. And it's really interesting to see how Eardwulf kind of capitalizes on this moment. So he knows, you know, so Ethelred still does not really remember much. And so Eardwulf takes this opportunity as he's lying up in bed to be like, well, you wanted us to go to East Anglia. He tells the Elderman, I tried to reason with him. It basically kind of takes the blame off of himself because Edith, you know, is concerned and rightly so that if Ethelred dies, the Elderman will place the blame on them because you need someone alive to direct your anger towards.
Right.
And So they're really kind of covering their tracks at this point and doing a pretty good job of it. And it helps that Ethelred has, like, temporary amnesia about all of the shit that went down last episode.
Right. Right. When you lose that much blood, you're not really at your mental best.
Yeah. I mean, when you're saying, like, oh, we were so in love to the woman that you, like, forcibly, like, raped the last episode, it's just... I don't know. Yes, he's dying, but honestly, I could not be happier.
Oh, for sure. I was watching this episode and, like, you know, he has these moments where he's apologetic and I'm like, good, you better apologize. You've been a shithead for 3 seasons. I'm not going to shed any tears over you dying now just because you're feeling a grain of remorse. Absolutely not. it's a lot. And I think it was really smart at the beginning of the season for Athelflaed to ensure that her daughter Eilfwen is away from all of this. So we get to meet Uhtred's daughter Steora, who is already a favorite.
The best.
Yeah, amazing. She looks exactly like her mother. She's got her dad's spirit. She's wonderful. I love her. She's watching Eilfwen and Athelstan, Edward's secret son. So she's, you know, holding down the fort in a big way for someone who is so young. But yeah, she's sort of handling that responsibility. And it's a really good thing that Athelflaed had the foresight to sort of keep Eilfwen away because immediately everybody's like, all right, so we're going to use the daughter and married her off to some creep so that we can preserve Mercy and Wessex. Correct? Correct. And
yes.
It's just, I mean,
women are cattle. Yes, we agree.
Right,
sure.
Right. Bargaining chip, even though she's a literal child, we're going to marry her off to some crude dude. Yeah, of course. And Athelflaed knew that. She knew that, like, it was going to be bad. And so she was right. As soon as Edward comes to Mercia and starts, like, making deals, it's immediately apparent that he doesn't view Eilfwen as a human being as much as a bargaining chip.
Yeah, and I really liked that, they took the time for Athelflaed and Uhtred to come to Saltwych and to reunite with their kids. One, it's just nice to see Uhtred have a relationship with one of his children that's really...
Positive,
yeah, and warm and loving. And she obviously admires her dad so much. She takes after him in a lot of ways. I think she can keep him on his toes, maybe even more than young Uhtred. So that's...
Sure, just like
an interesting
did.
Thing. Yeah. There's so much Gisela in her, and I love it. I think the casting... was really well done, and I'm so excited to see that relationship. But I also think it's interesting to be reminded that, like, not only does Uhtred have, you know, familial responsibilities, but so does Athelflaed. And we've seen her as this leader of Mercia and of in battle. But I always appreciate seeing that other side of her, which is the maternal side, and she wants to do right by her daughter. And it's so so much Eilswith in that kind of interaction that she has.
Have we seen her interact with Eilfwen before? Like, I feel like she's been mentioned, and they talk about the child, and they talk about how she doesn't look like Athelred and all that. But I don't know if we've ever, like, seen her.
We might have got
beyond,
a glimpse of her.
Right, beyond, like, a background thing. So this is, like, the first time we really get to see Athelflaed as a mother. Like you said, like, that was a really an interesting side of her that we haven't really gotten to see before.
I also find it really interesting that Athelstan is there. I know that he was in the monastery, and that they were talking of moving him, But yeah, I do find it interesting that it was decided that it was going to be Æthelflaed's estate that he goes to.
Yeah, I guess, like, you know, Aelswyth made those deals and whatnot and made stuff happen. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's like, okay, it doesn't make total sense to me to send him to a family member's estate because, I mean, you'd think that'd be one of the first places they would look for him when they decided sure. to look for him. But I guess since, you know, he's a lot of people think he's a bastard. And so and a lot of people don't even know that he exists. So I guess in a way, like, they kind of just don't really assume that he'd be important to anybody at this point, which is sad. But, you know,
poor little Æthelstan.
So but, you know, his aunt and his grandma are taking care of him, even if his father isn't. So,
yeah, two badass women. I mean, I would rather have them. As they my are guardians, like, I think.
They are seriously killing it right now, and I'm loving it. So, yeah, it's so good.
So, you know, while they're at Salt Witch, they leave Finan and Citric and Osferth to kind of watch over the kids.
Love it.
Poor Steora is still stuck there.
Taking care really of dumb children.
She wants to get out of these babysitting duties so bad. I feel for her. And Uhtred and Æthelflaed ride back to Mercia, where Edward has kind of arrived as well. He's brought, you know, his whole guard, which just seems like overkill and really aggressive.
A really intense show of force.
Yes, and he rides up, you know, with the intention of holding Æthelred accountable for invading East Anglia. I mean, it's just such a weird flex, the way he comes to Mercia. And then when he sees just how, you know, close to death's door Æthelred is, he kind of switches gears and realizes, well, this dude's not going to live long. It doesn't make sense to just yell at him in his bed. I need to, like, start making moves to control the succession of Mercia myself, because I think he does also realize, and it's, you know, told to him pretty bluntly by Uhtred that, you know, Mercia kind of wants to break from Wessex because you've been a shit king.
I liked that moment where Edward and Æthelflaed and Uhtred are kind of discussing what they're going to do, because there are moments where you think that maybe Edward is going to listen to sense. But then, of course, you know, Æthelholm comes sidling up and is like, actually, we're going to do it this way. And I just, like, you know, Edward has this real bravado. Like, he wants to be seen as, like, this great young king. But at the same time, he is so easily led by Æthelholm. Like, it's ridiculous how easy it is for his father-in-law to manipulate him. So he really, like, he likes to think of himself as an independent ruler, but he really is not at all.
Yeah, I think he sees the outward strength of people like Uhtred and Æthelflaed, and that, you know, threatens him. I think he doesn't recognize the power that Æthelholm has and how manipulative he is, because he's able to hide it. And so I think that's one of Edward's biggest flaws, is to not be able to see the real, you know, kind of threat to his rule, which is not his sister. It's his right-hand man.
Yeah, for sure. I really want to talk about the scene between Æthelflaed and Æthelred when they sort of talk one last time.
So allow me to choose someone suitable, and I promise you this kingdom will thrive.
I agree. You should approve the match. If only you were as faithful to me as you are to Mercia.
If you had not treated me with so much cruelty since our wedding night, perhaps things could have been very different between us.
Like, first of all, I enjoyed seeing, like, Æthelflaed and Edith meet, and I think they did a really great thing on the show. Like, yes, there is tension because it is the wife and the mistress, but I loved that they didn't, like, immediately, like, pit them against each other. Like, yes, there's, you know, some stuff they need to work through, but, like, they end this episode like a pretty decent team, and that's pretty rare and pretty great.
Yeah, it's a good switch up, I think.
Yeah, and so, like, Edith wants to get the hell out of Dodge. Eardwulf wants to stay and sort of see how he can continue to climb the ladder. And he, like, tries to pull rank with Æthelflaed, who's, like, I mean, yeah, like Athelflaed and Athelred had a bad marriage, but like she's still his wife and she is still the Lady of Mercia. And he's like, actually, I think I'm going to stay. And she's like, actually, you're going to get the hell out of my face and go somewhere else so I can talk to my husband.
Poor Edith, man. Like, you know, she's just over there like, God, my brother's such an idiot. I just want to peace out to France.
Like, she hates him so much, you can tell. Like, yes, there's that, you know, that familial bond and they're in this together at this point. But, like, you can tell she's looking for her way out.
For sure.
But, yeah, like, Athelflaed and Athelred, they sort of talk one last time and he kind of apologizes for what a terrible husband he was and how cruel he was to her. And she's like, you know, too little, too late, but also thank you. And she kind of, and I think she kind of leverages that guilt that he feels about what a terrible husband and king he was to protect her daughter. You know, she asks him, like, please don't let her be married off to somebody to, you know, without my consent. And he's like, well, she's not my daughter, but I guess I owe you this. And so he tells her, like, he's not going to let that happen, which I don't think he's really in a position to promise anything when he's on his deathbed. But at least, like, they have that sort of moment of, I wouldn't call it reconciliation because, again, way too little, way too late. But they sort of leave acknowledging that it was a bad marriage and it was a bad marriage because of his behavior. And, you know, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, I think, one, Athelflaed, you've got to get it in writing, girl. I mean,
get it in writing.
Times, if your dad taught you nothing else, it was to write shit down. But, two, I think this is, it's really, I think it's what both of them needed. Because, obviously, Athelred is going out this episode. And I think he needs to try to make some kind of move to secure his legacy and his throne. And maybe giving Athelflaed the reins will do that. Because he knows that she has Mercia's best interests at heart. I think for Athelflaed, it's definitely more... it's being able to kind of close a door on something that's haunted her for a long time. And she's kind of been living her life always a little bit worried of how Ethelred's going to kind of, you know, enact his revenge or, you know, try to hurt her because that's just the asshole that he was. And so I think, yeah, this just feels like, okay, we're going to shut the door, we're going to lock it, and we're just never going to go in that room again. And yeah, it's pretty therapeutic, I think, for them both. I hope that Athelred doesn't get too much
rest and peace
from it. But I appreciate that he at least did one kind of small, semi-right thing before he went to the other life. Unfortunately, it doesn't really mean much because, again, nothing is in writing. And Ethelred's dying. And so Edward is really kind of moving into that space. And Ethelhelm is pulling his strings. And it is just so annoying. I love the, like, drama of, like, political intrigue.
Me too.
But these two together, I just cannot stand. Like,
Athelhelm is, like, seriously on my shit list right now. Like, he is working so hard to silence all of these women around Edward who are trying to, you know, advise him in a different direction. Edward makes a comment that he wants his mother to, like, publicly apologize for calling on the Welsh king and to sort of be forced to acknowledge that insubordination. But Athelhelm really takes it, like, a step further, and he tells his, like, the guy who I guess is taking over from Steapa, and he's like, hey, so Edward wants his mom punished, not just, like, reprimanded. He wants her punished. And so she's forced into consignment. Oh my God, like, that scene where she's basically forced into being alone. I loved that scene where she sort of faces off against Edward's wife. And she's basically like, she speaks without authority. Like, look how she trembles. So even though she's being like, even though she's being like forced into house arrest, she's going to make it clear that like, there's one queen around here and it's Aelswith. So, yeah. You know,
sorry, Aelfled, like, not,
sorry, Aelfled, the usurper, like you're a coward, whatever. So yeah, but Athelhelm is really determined to be the only voice that Edward listens to at this point. And he has zero qualms about really abusing Edward's family in order to do that.
Yeah, and I think it's made easier because Edward kind of recognizes how the rift that has happened in Mercia because of everything that Ethelred mm-hmm. has done and everything that Edward has done. And these Eldermen are, like, at each other's throats. The mm-hmm. people are at each other's throats. There's, like, you know, fights in pubs. And, yeah, it's just, it's not good in the kingdom right now. And so it's easy, I think it's easier for Edward to be like, yeah, I do need to take control of this and kind of throw my weight around because, look, these people are just, you know, fighting all the time. When mm-hmm. really, like, a lot of that is your fault. And yeah. I think it's interesting, too, this kind of situation because Aethelflaed has done so much to kind of secure Mercia and make sure the people are safe. And she's pushed out of so many of these negotiations. And yeah. at one point, Uhtred just comes to her and is like, let's just go. Like, you could come to Cookham with me. We'll raise our kids. We'll be happy, you know. And Aethelflaed kind of expresses this this faith in the Eldermen and the faith in the Mercian people that I'm just like, kind of like, really? And even Uhtred says, like, just because you win battles doesn't mean, you know, the people will thank you for it always. And I'm just like, right. That's such a, so much wisdom, like, coming from him because he has experienced that. And still Aethelflaed is over here like, no, I know that they'll do the right thing. And I'm like, I wouldn't put my trust in these Eldermen at this point because they're only going to be out for themselves.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they make it clear that there are basically these two Mercian Eldermen who are kind of jockeying for the position of whoever's going to take over after Aethelred. You've got Burgred, who lost one of his sons, and he's looking to secure the position for his family legacy. And then you've got Ludica, who is playing the game a little bit better than being like outwardly belligerent. Like, he's sort of getting in with Edward and he's trying to, you know, play off this position of being a very rational and, you know, Mercian focused man and not out for it for like personal glory. And Edward is like immediately brought in to that. Like, he's like, right. Okay, so Ludica is the guy we're going to listen to. And, you know, I think for a second he thinks about marrying off Aelfwyn to him, who, like, Ludica's like an old man.
Too old.
But way too old. And then he meets Eardwulf and is like, okay, so this guy, he doesn't have any lands, but he's like the head of Athelred's army. And, you know, Eardwulf has basically gaslit everybody into thinking that he was the only one that, like, kept Athelred from completely driving them into ruin. And so, like, right. I think Eardwulf, he kind of, like, accidentally lucks into being in Edward's good graces because he's a sure. really, like, he's an idiot, but he's also a pretty talented liar.
Yeah, and he's very lucky, apparently.
Extremely lucky. But yeah, like, almost immediately, Edward's like, all right, so we're going to marry off Aelfwyn to Eardwulf, and Ludica's going to give, you know, he's going to get a bunch of land, and he's going to give Eardwulf the support he needs to become an Alderman. And it's just, like, they make these deals, like, so quickly. Like, so mm-hmm. quickly.
This is the fate of, like, entire kingdoms and over one dinner. Like, right. you haven't even got through all the courses yet of that dinner. And you're right. already like, yep, done. You're king.
Like, I get it. Like, they need to, like, you know, they need to move quickly because, yes, Mercia is in a very precarious position. But it's just, it's done with such haste that there's no way that these are good decisions. You know, like, these are not decisions that'll benefit the Mercian people.
Also, if I have to hear, like, how another young girl is going to be fertile for so many years.
Disgusting.
As, like, I just.
That, I, you know, Peerlig was disgusted, and I was just as disgusted alongside
Peerlig
him.
Done.
I, Father Peerlig has been like the low key MVP of this season, and I love him. But yeah, it's just like, it's a lot. But before we like move on to talking about the repercussions of that, I really do want to talk about that scene between Edith and Ethelred. Where he is like, so you're like always here, were we in love? And she's like, absolutely not.
nah.
And she's like, boy, no. And I liked that he apologized. Not that like I liked that he apologized, but I liked her response to his apology, where she was talking about how like women are used to being mistreated and we are taught to endure it. That was just like, I felt like that just said so much about her and how, you know, she's been used like a pawn with all these different men in her life. Like her father was obviously scum and her brother also sucks and Ethelred is terrible. And so she is just, you know, stuck in this position to just, if she wants to stay alive, she just has to take this level of mistreatment. And that is such an awful position to be in.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad to see. And I do appreciate that we, that they're not playing her as just a one note character, because I think it's easy to see women like Aelswith and Ethelfled and Breeda, and even Gisela. And these are women in different positions than what Edith is in. They have a bit of power. They have status. There's protection that comes along with that. Obviously, they've all been through terrible things as well, and they've been mistreated. But I think that kind of almost like nihilistic attitude that Edith has is something you would only have if you're, you know, a poor woman who your kind of options are just severely limited, because you're never going to be the wife of a nobleman or a queen. You know what I mean? It's a different level of torture that kind of life is. And yeah, I appreciate that we get to see that from Edith. And we also see that it hasn't broken her. I mean, she's not her brother. Like she seems like a pretty good person, all things considered. And so, yeah, it's just another kind of view of like a woman's strength of not letting the world kind of get her down or corrupt her, which is what it's done to her brother. And so, yeah, I think that was a really sweet scene. And she even offers to go get the bones of St. Oswald for him. Like, come on, I'm not going to be fetching bones from my abuser on his deathbed. Like,
no, just let him die.
You're too good, Edith.
Edith, like, I'm ready for Edith to, like, have something good happen for her. Like, earlier in this episode, like, her brother was just, like, so unkind to her. And, like, you know, that when he says, for a whore, you lack ambition, I was just like,
I gasped.
No,
I
was like, all
excuse
right,
me?
Get out of here. Like, that was too much.
If we didn't
hate Eardwolf before, we hated him now. Like, we've hated him pretty much since he showed up. So,
I mean, I've seen him as like this, like, you know, slimy kind of little snake who's just trying to better his position. But this episode really changed that for me a bit. Like, now I'm seeing him as like the cruel kind of ambitious, I'll sacrifice anyone or anything for what I want person. And so it's like, he's a little bit more dangerous than I thought he was.
Yeah.
I think that we find that out pretty quickly because Ethelred, you know, again, trying to do one good thing on his deathbed and keep his promise to Ethelfled, you know, to protect her daughter. And so when Eardwolf comes to tell him, like, I'm going to be married to her and I'll be leading Mercia, so like you can rest in peace knowing that I'll take care of everything, Ethelred's like, something in my gut tells me I shouldn't trust you. So no, you're not going to do that.
Yeah. Like Ethelred is clearly like, you know, he's losing control of his faculties and he doesn't remember what Eardwolf has been to him. And so, but he knows, he has this instinct that he's a liar and he knows that Eardwolf is not going to do what's best for Mercia. He's going to do what's best for himself. And so, you know, with his last bit of strength, Athelred is like, absolutely not. Fuck you. Get out of my face. And I think he kind of, you know, misplayed his hand there, because Eärendil clearly has no qualms about killing him in a very violent way.
Oh, my God. Like, crushed his head like a cantaloupe, dude. It
was disgusting.
And well, they made sure we heard all the sounds, you know, like the squishing.
Bone crunching.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, it's one of those things, like, I get it. Like, Athelred is in a really bad way, and I know they don't have, like, autopsies to where they can, like, check and see, like, sure. how he died. But, like, you would think that that level of violence would have, like, left a really physical mark, you know, like you would think that they would have been able to look at Athelred and be like, I think he was helped on his way to hell at this point. Like, this is not just dying from his wounds. His neck is broken and his head is crushed.
Yeah, I mean, just the copious amounts of blood strewn across the bed and like, I would be able to tell if I walked in on that. But again, maybe people just don't care enough because he was such an asshole.
I think that's a good point where everybody's like, all right, finally he's dead. Like, we're not going to look into it. Like, Athelred's dead. We don't have to deal with him anymore. But yeah, it's bad. And Athelflaed, you know, immediately is like, oh, okay, so now he can't help me protect my daughter. So she's going to be used as a pawn. This is really bad.
And also Edith sees her brother do this. I think that's a
huge thing
because she's coming back with the bones of St. Oswald and she kind of peeks in, and she sees her brother on top of Athelred, you know, crushing his head like a grape, and she's appalled and she's like, oh, like this is, you know, she's seen him kill before, but I think this is something different. He has the balls to kill a king. Like, he'll do anything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, both women are not in good positions after Athelred's death. And Athelflaed kind of comes to her brother because she learns, you know, that he's chosen Eärendil to lead Mercia to, you know, be her daughter's betrothed. Mm-hmm. And it's just gross. And she calls Edward out on that. And what does he do? Puts her in confinement, too. Because apparently, that's what you do when women, like, get out of control. Huh.
Right. It's basically the Saxon version of a lobotomy for hysteria.
Seriously.
But yeah, like, it was just, like, that scene where she's arguing with Edward and Athelhelm. And she's like, everything I have done it for Mercia. Like, how can you be treating me like this? And it was just, it was such an intense moment. And it's a good line, but also like, yikes. When Athelhelm, when she's like talking about how, you know, how can we marry my daughter who is so young off to someone who is so cruel? Like, what is that going to mean for her? And Athelhelm, when he's like, perhaps it will treat her more deference than her mother has. That man needs to die before the end of the season. And I hope it's a woman that kills him because, like, Athelhelm, like, there are a lot of bad dudes on this show. But at this point, I think Athelhelm is, like, enemy number one right now.
For sure.
He is just out of control, mad with power. Get him out.
Yeah, and he's slowly kind of cutting off every familial tie that Edward has. He's put Aelswyth in confinement. Now Ethelfled's in confinement. He's making sure he's the only voice that Edward hears. And unfortunately, Edward is listening to him. And so, you know, he sends men to Saltwych to pick up Aelflwyn. And the Cookham crew is there. And we're thinking, like, it's probably going to get a little bloody because I can't imagine, like, they're going to be cool with this new development. And, you know, Steora, our little, like, you know, secret badass, has a plan because she is her mother's and her father's daughter.
Yeah, and, I think she worked out the plan with Uhtred before they left because, like, they knew that they were not leaving them with enough people to withstand anything. So they had to use you know, their cunning instead of their brute force. And yeah, I loved this scene where, you know, I think Finnan and Citric, and they were like getting prepared to like go fight. And she's like, actually, we're going to do this my way. We're going to do this differently. I'm sick of these dumb kids, but also I'm going to protect them. And she is just like so crafty and I love her. And so they like hide out and she tricks them into thinking that like Uhtred came and took Aelfwyn away when they're really just hiding in different corners of the house. And it was so good. I loved this scene. It was like, so good.
Put your muscles away, boys. We're going to use our brains today.
Right.
Yeah, just so genius. And she's also like, it's very clever, but it's also, there's a bit of fearlessness in her. Like she faces down this, you know, guard of grown men and she's just like smirking the entire time. Like it's just, yeah, there's, you can tell the differences between her and her brother. And I like that they are so kind of opposite in a lot of ways because it gives us a little look at what could have been with this family if things had gone differently. I don't know. I love it. I love Steora. Such a good character to add.
Yeah, like, I guess I never really thought about that before, like, what these kids would look like and what they would be like if their mother had lived and if Uhtred could have been a more present dad. Like, what would their family dynamic be if things had been different? But yeah, I think, you know, it's clear that, like, Steora got to see her dad more and was, you know, had built a better relationship with him. But I'm curious, like, how often had she been able to see young Uhtred, do you think? Like, he's been, like, living in a monastery, but they seem to be, like, pretty friendly. So,
she recognized him when she opened the door.
Yeah, like, did she see him more often? Because, like, it didn't seem like he ever saw his dad, so how would he see his sister? I don't know. The family, like how often they like meet up for a potluck is pretty unclear. But I'm glad that they're all together now because I think that's what Gisela would want.
Yeah. And so Uhtred, he rides up after the men leave and they kind of quickly get their belongings together. They take as much as they can because they're riding to Chester,
Chester. The pronunciation is...
there's a lot of hard C's. Yeah, but sometimes a C, an A, and an E can be a CH.
Right.
Who knows, guys? We're trying our best, okay?
Right,
But there, basically, this is a place up north. It's a Roman fort, really good defenses. Mm-hmm. The road is going to be super dangerous, but if they can get there, they'll be safe. And that's where they're headed. And Æthelflaed is still stuck in Mercia. She's in confinement. She knows, like, that Uhtred had, you know, ridden to Saltwich to get her daughter and to take her there. But she's kind of, you know, trapped until Edith comes to help her. And I like at first that Æthelflaed's like, bitch, I'm not going to trust you. Like, you've been sleeping with my husband. And Edith's like, not because I wanted to.
We're not that different, Æthelflaed. Yeah, I think it was good for Edith to, you know, have this moment to be like, this is not what I wanted. And not a single thing we did was consensual. So get off my case. I was just trying to survive like you're trying to survive now. We're not that different. So, yeah, I think, you know, at this point, like, Æthelflaed has had a little bit of agency in, like, the political machinations that she's done, and Edith hasn't. So she's done the best she can with what she had. But, yeah, like, I hope they, like, spend more time together in the future because I loved both of their scenes together in this episode. But, yeah, Edith helps her escape with Aldhelm, who also never expected to love him, but he's doing great
now.
There
he is.
like, he's a guy you want to have on your side, that's for sure. So, yeah, like, Æthelflaed gets out and she... now, where is she heading again? Because she tells Edith to find... Uhtred on the road to Chester. So she's obviously not heading there yet. So is she going
I was
going to
ask you if you knew.
Okay, great.
Have we just not learned yet? I just felt like it was clear that Edith is going to meet Uhtred.
And to tell her that Athelflaed escaped.
Right. But where she's escaping to, I'm not sure.
Right.
Unless,
because
is she going to Wessex to get her mom? I don't.
That's actually a good thought. Maybe she's going to help Aelswyth, because I don't think she's going to stick around Mercia, because, you know, she's talking about how she doesn't want to abandon them. And Aldhelm is like, lady, they abandoned you. So I think going to Wessex to save her mother is a good guess, because
I feel like it's either that or maybe she's going to again, like, raise the Fjords and see what allies she can.
Yeah,
I don't know. But because that feels like a preemptive act of war. And I just don't think she's there yet mentally to be like, yeah, this is my only option. You know what I mean? That doesn't seem like something Athelflaed would do. So I'm wondering.
But at the same time, she's been pushed a lot in this episode. Like,
yes.
She's had to deal with her brother for a long time, but he really showed like how little regard he has for her. And to have the Elderman, who she just busted her ass to like save as many of them as she can, basically forcing her out, even though she's given so much to Mercia. So like, again, like Aldhelm says, like, they abandoned her. Why would she, you know, I guess she's more noble than I am, but I'm like, why would she help them when they've basically, you know, given her the middle finger and, you know, locked her away? So I don't know.
I'd ride with Uhtred and just live out your life, like, happily ever after.
Like, that moment where he's like, listen, like, we could have a good life there. Like, let's go, you know, raise a bunch of kids and have a farm. I was like, girl, take it. That sounds like a great time.
But, I want that farm life.
Right?
No, but I think
unfortunately,
she's too noble.
She is.
And she's ambitious. Like,
she is.
I don't want to say it's all like, I don't want to like put her on a pedestal and say it's like, oh, she's just so honorable and so noble.
Right.
She's got ambition. She has,
of course,
plans and ideas for Mercia. And I think that's fine. But I think, we're starting to see that there's a divide between them as far as like what's most important. And I think this loss at Bebbanburg has kind of shifted Uhtred a little bit. And Athelflaed is still like all in for Mercia. And so, I'm interested to see how that goes going forward, too.
Yeah, Uhtred is ready to just, like, wife her up and settle down, and Athelflaed is, like...
He wants to retire, Alyssa.
He does. He's tired, and he's just sick of this shit, so he's getting too old for it. So, but Athelflaed, you know, she's still got moves to make, and I respect that, so we'll see. We'll see.
We shall see.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, guys, it's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes, like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, what do you think is going to happen next episode?
All right, so it's super clear at this point that Edward has absolutely no respect for the women in his life and is, you know, determined to shut up his mother and his sister in an extremely literal sense.
He did not pay attention in those women's study courses.
He never even showed up for class, didn't do the reading. He blew it off. And I think, you know, he continues to underestimate them because Athelflaed, you know, immediately escapes to start shit, and Aelswyth is making deals despite being under house arrest. So I think he's making a grave mistake by going against his mother and his sister, and they both love him, but I also think they're both running out of patience with him, as they should be. I stan this mother-daughter duo. Like, I cannot get over how much I'm enjoying Aelswyth this season. Never thought I'd see the day. And yeah, I just like, I cannot wait to see how all this family drama plays out. It's my favorite thing.
Agreed. I'm also loving, you know, that woman power that Aelswyth and Ethelflaeder delivering. I also really love a good on the run story.
Me too.
So I hope we kind of stick with Uhtred and his crew next episode and leave the political scheming behind in Mercia. Mm. Like, I do want to see Edith kind of get out. So if we need to, like, visit with her a little bit. Like, normally that kind of intrigue and drama really greases my gears. But I think the men are sexist pigs, and worse, they're all dumb as a bag of rocks. So it's just really not
the
not
lack
interesting
of, like, you know, it's been kind of interesting to, like, watch this season play out. And I feel like it's trying to echo in a way, like, all that Alfred had to deal with in, like, season one with the Aldermen and all that. But I don't think any of them are as smart as Alfred was, or as even as, like, Otto was, and all of these other, you know, Aldermen that we've lost in the past. There's just not the same level, and they're just like children making these terrible deals.
Yeah, they're little weasels. They're just running around causing chaos in Mercia. Let's road trip and leave this whole mess behind, is what I say.
So The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our arsling of the episode is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. So, who's your favorite in this episode, Jessica?
I mean, sorry to Uhtred, sorry to Ethelflaed, sorry to the whole Cookham crew. It hurts my heart, but I now answer only to Steora. Like, she's got my sword. Really, she's the best of both of her parents. She's a badass teenager, just longing for adventure and really resenting these babysitting duties. And I relate, like, hard.
Yeah. Yeah. She was basically an immediate favorite, right? Like, I'm obsessed with her already. I'm going to go with Edith on this one. Like, her brother really fancies himself the deal maker, but it's so clear with every new episode that Edith is the real power player here. Like, she may not have the position, but she has the wits to sort of make something of herself and make something of her family. I love that she didn't coddle Ethelred even in death. And she, you know, she pretty immediately formed an alliance with Aelflaed, and she's about to go meet up with the cooking crew. I love her. I want good things for her. And I cannot wait to see, like, how she becomes a part of the team.
Oh, it's going to be such an interesting dynamic when she's so, like, good. Inserted there.
Oh my God. I can't wait. Can't wait.
Get ready to shame down the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the week. So, Alyssa, I don't think I have to, like, really guess, but go ahead. Who did you hate this episode?
I mean, I hated a lot of people, but I'm just sick of Athelhelm shit. Like, this man is playing Edward like a puppet, and he is doing everything that he can for his own personal gain. And, you know, since he's so in deep with Edward, like, he won't get his comeuppance until Edward does. But I'm counting down the hours, nay, the minutes, until I can watch this smug bastard fail. But I also feel like I need to throw Athelred into here one last time, since he's been a mainstay in this section for us, and now he will never be in it again. So, bye, Athelred.
Pour one out, hell. I guess.
Pour one out.
Burn in hell.
Pour one out in celebration for that asshole's death. It was time.
Yeah, this section is really going to miss Athelred. I'm shocked
to
say.
It's true.
But just because he dies doesn't mean he's not still a turd, so he belongs here. Just assume he'll always be here haunting this section. but I think this episode was a bad one for all the brothers out there. Between Edward invading Mercia with his armies and marrying off his niece against his sister's wishes, and Erdwulf kind of, you know, obviously calling his sister a whore, which, killing Ethelred so he could be named king. I mean, man, it makes me so glad that my parents never saddled me with a male sibling. Like, I love my sister so much. Thank you, mom and dad.
right. Yeah, that makes sense to me. But, you know, I think Erdwulf is going to sort of take over Athelred's position in this section as long as he survives.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, no character is safe on the Last Kingdom, so but some of them seem to be flirting with death more than others. Ninth century life was fleeting and barbaric, but that doesn't mean we can't have a little fun with it. Get ready to place your bets on who's headed to Valhalla soon, because this is the Viking death pool. All right, who's got a target on their back, Jessica?
Edith, girl, you are in danger.
Oh, no.
Seriously, I think she's underestimating her brother's cruelty and ambition, which is crazy to me because she just witnessed him crush Ethelred's skull. I hope she kind of gets out of Mercia and is able to hook up with Uhtred's crew and she'll be safe there. I think it'll happen, but I think she's going to have to really use her wits to get out of this because once her brother finds out that she betrayed him, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, but at the same time, I just don't see Eardwulf being smart enough to pull off like all of the plans that he's made. Like, I think he's been flying by the seat of his pants like this whole time. And there's only so many people you can kill whenever you make a mistake to sort of hide that.
Sure.
I think he's overly ambitious and he doesn't have the wherewithal to follow through. And so I hope he gets his before too long. And hopefully it's somehow at the hands of his sister now that she's like, planning on leaving and like joining the Cookham crew. Like, I don't know if that's possible, but if he can somehow, get his cutthroat by Edith before the season is over, I would be thrilled.
See, I feel like, you know, it is a good point because if he can't marry Eilfwen, then his claim to the throne is, it's really precarious. What if all of these eldermen kind of band against him and we get like an Ides of March, like stabbing of Caesar kind of deal?
That would be so good.
That
would be
good.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Just give him a really brutal death and we'll be happy, guys. Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2020, the world is on fire, honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. So Alyssa, go first.
Well, this episode is basically setting up a hunky reboot of the Babysitter's Club, and I'm obsessed
100%.
With it.
100%. Yes.
Yeah, pardon me while I go to write 100 domestic fanfics about the Cookham crew because love this.
Yeah.
Also, Finnan's arms. That's all. Like, oh my God.
That's all
there you
need.
Go.
Yeah.
That's all you need. So,
end of sentence.
Yeah.
Is it weird that, like, I had to fan myself a little, like, watching our Cookham crew kind of living domestic life in Salt Lake?
Not weird at all. I 100% understand.
Finnan's muscle tank and he's doing parlor tricks, Citric's day drinking, Osphorus catching up on his book club wrecks.
That's like
for
quarantine
some reason,
goals right there.
God, right? For some reason, like normal century life, like living with these guys is just as hot as the constant danger and bloodshed. So who knew?
Who knew? Yeah, I 100% agree. Like, what a great time. Now, since we recorded our previous seasons, the world has changed a little bit. Life has ground to a halt, and we're just doing our best not to lose our minds in quarantine. So goodbye, Geek Out, and welcome to Self-Care Corner, where we talk about what we're reading, watching, and doing to stave off the seemingly endless alone time. All right, what you got?
Okay, so again, another show I'm going to recommend, and I think this might have a little link to you. It's called Run, and it's on HBO.
Yes.
Have we talked about this before? I feel like maybe me and you have talked about
it.
I think we talked about it.
Yeah, I don't think we have either. But okay, so talk about why you want to suggest it, because I have some thoughts on the latest episodes. So I want to talk about it. But continue.
Okay. So... I love Merritt Weaver. I think she is
incredible.
Such an underrated actress.
Yes.
She was in, if you've seen Netflix's Unbelievable, such a powerful miniseries, and she was amazing in it. She's got this, like, this way of speaking. It's very powerful and forceful, but it's also very kind of quiet and soothing. I don't know. She's incredible.
Amazing.
Also, Donald Gleason, like, such a cutie.
One
really
of my
good.
Faves.
I love that this show gives him a chance to be this kind of like witty asshole, because he doesn't, I don't think he plays that too much. I mean, obviously Star Wars, like he was a bad guy, but he was like almost for comedic effect. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this show, he gets to kind of be like back and forth between being like this super sexy Irishman and then being like, oh my God, dude, you're such a jerk. Yeah. And so, yeah. And I think the chemistry between them is just
Their sexual chemistry is so good that it makes me want to rip my skin off. It's like, it's right? Honestly, the show is too horny for quarantine because
it's too much. Yeah.
It's too much. But I will say, I loved the pilot and I really liked the second episode where it's basically just them like flirting and like being mean to each other on a train. Obsessed with it.
Yes.
But I will say I haven't loved it as much since they've sort of opened it up beyond just them sort of reconnecting. And now like they're setting up this whole like kind of seems like it's almost a heist. So I didn't love the last episode. I'm like, obviously I'm like sticking with it. And like, I never thought that I would be disappointed to see more Archie Punjabi because I love her, loved her since The Good Wife, loved her since The Fall, but I haven't loved the dynamic that she's brought to the show. So I'm in it. Like I'm four episodes in, like I'm obviously like going to stick with it at this point, but I haven't loved the shift as much as I loved that. I mean, that pilot was as good as any pilot I've ever seen.
Incredible.
And yeah, I'm glad that people are realizing that Donald Gleason is a babe because I've been beating that drum for years and I'm ready for people to get on board.
You've really been carrying that torch. You've been steering the bandwagon and now we're all getting on it. But I agree. I think, you know, those first couple episodes on the train, there was something so interesting about it being like this contained thing. And it's, you know, about these two people who made this pact that if one of them texted the other one run, if they both texted it to each other, that they would just drop their lives and go. And that's such an interesting premise because you can see, like, you know, that being a possibility in real life, like people actually doing that. And this idea of, like, especially Merritt's character leaving her family and, it's a really interesting premise. I agree. Mm-hmm. I think some of the things that they've introduced later in the season with his character and what he's running from, I'm confused about. And so, I have faith that they'll bring it all together. But, I mean, if anything, just watch for the sexual tension.
I mean,
it's off the charts.
Yeah, it's so good. I honestly, like, I've been watching Run. I've been watching Insecure. I rewatched Fleabag, which is always a favorite.
Sexual tension. Let's talk about it.
I know.
Hot priest.
Gotta have the hot priest in your life right now. And yeah, between that and subsisting on banana bread mostly, like that's just how it is right now.
That's okay. That sounds amazing. Yeah, so comforting. Banana bread and Fleabag. Come on.
There you go. That's all you need. All right, guys, if you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at SciFiWire Fangirls. Also, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a nice review wherever you get your podcasts.
And until next time, Destiny is all, bitches.